In the United States, fewer people are having babies. According to recent data from the CDC, the U.S. birth rate is now at a 35-year low. And many people, especially younger Americans, are delaying when they have children or choosing not to have them at all. And with the coronavirus pandemic further revealing the challenges of parenting, some people are rethinking having children altogether. But child-free people today, especially if they're women, still face scrutiny over their decision not to have kids. Dr. Amy Blackstone is a sociology professor at the University of Maine and the author of Child Free by Choice, The Movement Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence. Amy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Also with us is Samita Mukhopadhyay, executive editor of Teen Vogue, who recently wrote about this very topic for The Atlantic. Samita, thanks for being with us.
I'm so excited to be here.
Samita, you wrote about this piece about being child-free in the era of coronavirus, and you talked about seeing memes and posts on social media. Tell us what you were noticing.
I noticed, you know, a forum that often extols the virtues of parenting and family and fun times had taken a bit of a pivot, and I noticed a lot of the mothers in my life were getting really honest about how challenging it's been to be at home with their children 24/7, the isolation they're feeling, the inability to focus on their work or their tasks, or even just having a little bit of free time. And, you know, I noticed it because I hadn't really seen something like that before, where people were speaking very honestly about the challenges of parenting.
And what about your friends and folks who don't have children? What were they saying on social media?
You know, one of the things that I noticed was this was a bit of a quieter conversation. There was definitely, you know, a group of people that were being loud on social media, as they tend to be, about being child-free. But what I noticed more than anything was many of my friends who, you know, I don't think they were firmly in the I am child-free camp, because they felt a lot of both ambivalence and kind of anxiety about saying I'm definitely not having children, start to whisper amongst each other and say, hey, maybe this was not the worst decision in the world, or maybe kids aren't going to work out for me. And that honesty felt like something new.
Amy, and I agree, Samita, for sure, being someone myself who for 44 years was child-free and now suddenly am not, I totally understand both sides of this moment, particularly in the pandemic. Amy, before the pandemic, was there a tendency to compare circumstances among who has it better or worse, people with kids, people without kids?
Absolutely, there was that tendency. And, you know, as Samita points out, that's still happening today. But I think what's different is that the pandemic has given parents an opportunity to really open up about the difficulties of parenthood. I mean, prior to the pandemic, women in particular were demonized for talking about anything other than the joys of parenting. And I think this is a real opportunity for both child-free people and parents to have honest discussion about their choices, the reasons for them, and the consequences of them.
And Amy, what about the child-free women in particular? As I mentioned, I have been one for many, many years of my life. And so I think we're sort of viewed with the different lenses. Has that changed because of the pandemic?
Well, normally I'm an optimist, but I would like to say that the pandemic has changed that. I don't know that it has. I mean, I think one of the most common refrains I heard from women that I interviewed for my book was that either they worry that, or they've been told that they're less of a woman because they don't have kids or because they don't want to have kids. And we do have this very strong cultural belief that women are instinctually drawn to becoming mothers, so something must be wrong with them if they don't want kids. That is a cultural belief. There's no scientific evidence to support the argument that we're instinctually drawn to have kids. So, you know, I hope that this pandemic opens up that discussion, but that's pressure that women still face, and even the pandemic hasn't changed that reality for women.
Samita, you are a powerhouse over at Teen Vogue. You're a success in your own right. You're fantastic. And yet, have you had to deal with what Amy was just describing by being a child-free professional woman?
Absolutely. I think almost, you know, and not as much with friends, but even when I was thinking about writing this piece, I did have a moment where I was like, oh, everyone's going to say, oh, but Smita, you can do whatever you want to do. You can do whatever you want to do. And the pressure often comes from places that you don't expect, right? Or places you do expect, your family, right? My aunts and uncles are always asking questions. I think that, you know, your friends who have children will, you know, just make comments where there is a bit of an assumption that your life isn't really complete until you kind of figure out what's going to happen with that step. And I think a lot of women also internalize that. I think the reluctance to openly admit a comfort with not having children is, you know, what Amy was saying, is that kind of pressure where you know you're going to be judged for the decision. And are you ready to take on that heavy mantle that is, you know, a child-free woman or a woman who's, you know, barren or whatever all of the stereotypes are. And so I've absolutely felt it in my own life. And I've also felt, you know, and Tanzina, you and I have talked about this, the kind of of the going back and forth of, you know, do I need a child to complete my life? Do I just want to have a child, or will I be okay not having a child? And I think that we need more space to be openly having those conversations, be honest about it, instead of this assumption that, like, we just all inherently want children and we're always shoving down this desire and this instinct, which is just not reality.
It's not reality. And Samitha, I wonder if you've also heard people say, oh, you're so lucky right now.
I've definitely heard that. I've heard that, and that was part of what motivated me to write the piece, was friends that, like, that, you know, that meme that was circulating, and I don't know if you saw it, you know, it was this very innocuous, almost beautiful piece of content, and then when you read it, you were like, oh my god, blink twice if you need help, right? and it was like very jarring. But I also kind of took it as you know, almost a type of reprimanding of child-free people. Like, don't take for granted that you can read a book in the middle of the day. Hmm. The reality is almost none of us can read a book in the middle of the day. We're working like crazy. You know, we have so many other demands in our life, and many parents are, and I'm, you know, very careful to include truly what parents are going through right now, because I think it's unconscionable to put the kinds of pressure that we're putting on parents right now between balancing raising children and working from home.
In your piece in The Atlantic, you wrote, you know, there are assumptions that your life as a 40-year-old child-free person means you're on a daily yoga retreat. And when I read that, I thought, that's not a bad thing. I mean, like,
yeah,
you know, is part of the assumption, and Amy, I'd like to hear your thoughts too, is part of the assumption that child-free people just have no responsibility? Because I know I felt that when I didn't have a child.
There is absolutely this assumption that you don't have other responsibility. And as I talk about in The Atlantic, you know, I was tasked with taking care of my parents who, you know, my mother was vulnerable in the pandemic, and I've had to make tremendous amounts of personal sacrifice to keep her safe and to make sure that, you know, she was able to have her chemotherapy treatments and things like that. And so, you know, there is this assumption, and there isn't space, right, for our imagination around what a woman does when she doesn't have children. And it's, you know, we support our communities, we're supporting our friends, we are often working a lot, right? And so I think there is this assumption that we have free time and we, you know, are using our money for, you know, our hobbies only and things like that. And, you know, and but I also don't want to say, like, we do have, you know, more free time in not, like, you know, having to raise a child during the pandemic. Like, I don't think it's fair to say that I have the exact same pressures as someone who is raising a small child right now. But I do think we need some space to really think about, you know, how do we construct our lives, and why are there these two kind of binary ways we think about this, whereas we should kind of be helping each other, right? You know, I love children. Like, I get a lot of value out of spending time with my friends who have children, and they get a break when their kids are with me. And I think we need to really start thinking about that.
And we are deeply grateful for people like you, Samitha. I had someone offer at the peak of the pandemic, when I couldn't do my own laundry, to come and do it socially distanced. Yeah. And she doesn't have children. She's a wonderful person, and she really lifted that burden for me. Amy, as you hear this conversation, I mean, I almost feel like child-free people have to justify their decision to others in some instances. Is that what you're finding in your research?
Oh, absolutely, we do. And it's funny, because if you think about what's involved in parenting and required of parents, And given the narrative we all hear about how much we care about and love children, you would think that it would be parents that we should be asking to justify their choice rather than the child-free. But yes, we do. Child-free people do often find themselves in that position of having to justify, and not just justify, but a lot of, I guess this is the same as justify, but explain. I was nodding like crazy as Sumitha was talking. This assumption that we don't have a care in the world or responsibilities in the world, I think serves both to divide parents and the child free, and also is completely untrue. As Sumitha said, we have parents who we care for, we have friends, we have partners. I have students. I have children in my lives that I care about, and our communities. If you look at the impact that child-free people make in their communities, we know from research that we give a greater proportion of our financial income to charities and to our communities, which makes sense because we're not spending it on rearing kids. And we also spend we volunteer more intensively than parents do in our communities. So we are spending our time doing things that have value for the good of society. But I think it's easy for folks to overlook that.
Does it also place a burden on parents, particularly if they are women, Amy? Because I wonder if, you know, the idea that, oh, single people are just free and child-free people are out there with all this free time and they're caring less versus the narrative that says parents, particularly mothers, have to dedicate 1,000% of their attention to their kids. I mean, doesn't this narrative hurt both sides of the equation?
It absolutely does. And this is one thing I argue in my book, that if we can come to see our interests as shared, for example, around issues of work-life balance. I think when we hear that term, work-life balance, sometimes the vision that people call up in their mind when they hear the term life is children. But the reality is, as Sumitha has said as well, that we all have lives outside of work that we value, that matter to us, and we all need and deserve balance between our work and our lives. And I think the more that parents and the child-free can come to see that reality, the more that we can work together to change the systems and the structures that are harming all of us.
You know, given what we're talking about, I'm wondering if we're finally at an inflection point where one of two things will happen. We know the birth rate is declining, whether we'll continue to see that decline, and or will child-free people start to be more accepted in American society?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question, because the birth rate question is one that people have been talking about since before the pandemic, but it's come up again during the pandemic. And early in the pandemic, I saw articles with authors arguing that we should expect to see a baby boom at some point in the near future as a result of the reality that we're all stuck at home with less to do than we once had. And I actually think we're going to see something quite different from that. We know from decades of demographic research that in times of economic stress, that birth rates go down. And, you know, we all know what the economic impact of the pandemic has been. So I do think that we're going to see birth rates continue to decline as a result of the pandemic. Absolutely. I hope that we will start to see more acceptance of child-free people and the child-free choice. I think the jury is still out on that. But one thing that gives me hope with respect to what's happening in the pandemic is that it has opened up a space for parents to talk about the challenges of parenting. And I think that that has to be a part of the conversation about why people may opt out of parenthood and why parenthood might not be the best fit for all of us. So, I'm hopeful that the result will be wider acceptance of the child-free choice. I think we have to wait and see.
Sumitha, in your piece in The Atlantic, you wrote, and I'm quoting here, "For the first time in a long time, I don't think it really makes sense for me to have children. The future is too uncertain and the current environment too unsafe." That's a quote from your piece in The Atlantic. And I'm wondering if you could expound on that, because I imagine that COVID-19 has revealed a lot about the structural inequities that we face in this country for having children. What can you tell us about that even more?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and I say this in the piece, I was, you know, I turned 42 this year. And at the beginning of this year, I was looking into potential fertility treatments and considering what it would look like to have a child on my own. As I was starting that medical process, the pandemic hit. And, you know, as we know, you know, necessary medical, we stopped having access to the types of appointments and meetings you kind of need. And it was this, it almost felt like a moment of intervention where I thought, wow, like this would be something that this would not be an easy thing for me to try and navigate, especially in a moment like this. And so just from a medical perspective, it brought up a lot of questions for me in terms of how much that requires and our very precarious system that can't really expand to meet the demands of the moment. So that was one of the first things. The second was having conversations with my friends about how, what a hard time they were having and how they were trying to juggle all the different pieces. And to Dr. Blackstone's point, what we're seeing, right, is that the division of labor for heterosexual straight couples, the division of labor tends to fall on the woman and more so, right? You know, you had that kind of article in the New York Times where a woman was like, I had to dissolve my business because I had to, you know, take care of my children. And everybody was like, the husband couldn't do like one thing, like he couldn't support with any part of the child rearing.
And that could happen. You know, we should say that could also happen in same-sex couples. I mean, dynamics are different, but, you know, there always is some sort of division of labor, right?
Absolutely. There's one person who takes a bigger role in the child rearing, and it could be for many reasons. But that imbalance really made me start to think about how, you know, these structures that we hope will kind of set us free, will give us, you know, joy, will fulfill our lives. Often we end up confined in these environments, and we don't have a ton of, you know, the assumption is, of course, my marriage is equal. Of course, we're dividing this labor. But the truth is that that's not always happening. And so how do we kind of navigate that while still not fully losing ourselves?
Samantha Mukhopadhyay is the executive editor of Teen Vogue, and Dr. Amy Blackstone is a sociology professor at the University of Maine and the author of Child Free by Choice. Thanks to you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.